Our Father, we are here because we are completely helpless and hopeless apart from you. We're not here to perform or present anything to you really that impresses you or merits some kind of special treatment from you. We're here to bow before you, to show our reverence and our respect to you. Yes, to lift our voices in praise and to say that we're here together as a group of people who love you because you first loved us and because you gave your life for us, and that we owe you everything and we do want to follow you. And Lord, help us, I pray, to learn from your word. Lord, we don't have anything new or something that we've invented or creatively put together to present tonight. Just the word of God. And help us to have open hearts and to receive the word tonight. Lord, may your word do its transforming work. And may it point us to love Christ more. And may you truly change our lives by it. We pray that it may be and have its effect as the sanctifying agent of the Holy Spirit in our lives, as it's meant to do. And enable me to speak clearly about these truths and help each of us to grasp them and do your will by your word, I pray, in our lives now. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. You see in front of you the text, Colossians 3. I'm actually going to ask you to start in Colossians 1. I'm going to ask you to start in Philippians chapter 3. There we go. Just go to Philippians 3. All right. And that's what we talked about this morning in connection with pursuing the knowledge of God. And I want to pick up sort of where we left off, and then we'll head to Colossians in just a few minutes. This morning we talked about pursuing knowing God. And I just want to emphasize to us right now that this is a lifelong pursuit. It is not something that we do once or we do a few times, but pursuing the knowledge of God is a lifelong pursuit. And it is a process. It is something that we do over time, but we also grow in it. We do it progressively. And if you remember from this morning, we talked about all of Paul's privileges, all of Paul's advantages, all of Paul's successes. But still, not only from before he was saved, but also the things that he accomplished after he was saved, he still pursued the knowledge of God to the very end of his life. And so just notice with me in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. By the way, there's a good little phrase to think about. Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Can you say that tonight? Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Yes, praise God for that. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing. Here it is, his pursuit. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that pursuit certainly included the knowledge of God. So this was Paul's lifelong pursuit. For him, it was a lifelong process. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Because John talks about this also. In 1 John chapter 3, where he says, starting with verse 1, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Remember, we talked about two categories of people, those who know God and those who don't. And that's what John's identifying here. The world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So now we're talking about this lifelong pursuit and also lifelong process that one day culminates when we see Jesus, and that process of being conformed to Him is finally complete, because when we see Him, we will see Him as He is. Our knowledge of Him will be full. And so we'll be like Him. Verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So there's back to the process. Here's what we're doing right now. We're in a lifelong process of knowing God and becoming what God wants us to be, being conformed to the image of His Son. And so it is a lifelong process. It is also an eternal experience, because when we see Him, we will know Him and we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So really, being a Christian is all about knowing God. It starts with knowing God. It's a process of knowing God, and we will know Him forever. And that's all contained in what the knowledge of God is that we're pursuing. So if all that's true, then you and I can and should grow in our knowledge of God. We can and we should grow in our knowledge of God. Now, this morning we ended with a final point where I talked about what is included in knowing God. There were five things that were included in knowing God: a relationship with Him, power from Him, suffering with Him, growing like Him, and being forever with Him. Now, there's some of those that we can progress in. Which ones? Which ones? A relationship with Him, power from Him, suffering with Him, growing like Him. That one's obvious, right? And being forever with Him. Well, three jump out to me. Our relationship with Him, that's a growing thing. It is not static. It is dynamic. It is not we know Him when we're saved and that's it. No, there's a growing relationship that we have with Him, right? That deepens and becomes more intimate over time. So we can grow in our knowledge of Him and our relationship with Him. Suffering. We were having lunch together today and we were talking about this one. How we grow in our knowledge of God through suffering. Through suffering. That's something to really grab onto today. Because some of you are suffering. Or you have been suffering. You're going through a hard time. There's pain in your life. There's difficulty. There's loss. What is going on? What am I supposed to do? Well, you may know some practical steps to take. You may know some directions to follow. But if you don't know anything else, you can know this. This is a time for me to experience the fellowship of His suffering, and to grow in my knowledge of Him through a time of suffering. So that one is an area where we can grow. And then, of course, growing like Him, to be more like Christ. That's an area of growth. So again, just pointing out that this is not just something that happens once, but it is a process. And so tonight I want to focus on growing in your knowledge of God. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1 now. Colossians chapter 1. You can make it the pursuit of your life to know God, because it is a never-ending, always growing, deeper and fuller and more intimate experience. You can make the pursuit, you can make it the pursuit of your life to know God, because it is a never-ending, always growing, deeper and fuller and more intimate experience. You can do that. And Paul is talking about this in Colossians chapter 1. And I want to read for us starting in verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, as he is beginning his letter to the Christians in the city of Colossae. He greets them. He says some things to them and about their pastor Epaphras and how he had taught them these things back in verse 7. Now look at what he says in verse 9. For this reason, we, Paul says, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Remember, we talked about that this morning. Knowing God brings joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So right in the middle of what Paul says that he's praying for these people, we see that he tells them he's praying for them to grow in their knowledge of God. And you see this flurry of words here in verse 9. I ask, here's what I'm praying for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you see that? Just one term after another saying, I'm praying that you will grow in your knowledge of His will, your wisdom, your spiritual understanding. And then we see it again in verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. So he's praying that they would grow in their knowledge of God. And so just a few simple points related to this tonight. First of all, you can grow in your knowledge of God. You can. That's obvious because God's word tells us we can, and therefore we know we can. Paul's praying for this for them. Therefore, we know it's possible. The Bible directs us to think this way. Therefore, we know that that it's possible for us. This is within the realm of possibility. And, you know, this morning as we were talking about this, I gave some different scenarios of ages and stages of life and circumstances. And I don't remember if I touched on this one or not, but, you know, I know that a number of you have walked with God for many years and you've been saved and you have read the Bible. If you pick up the Bible to read it, you can open just about anywhere and you know pretty much what's going on. You can identify the situation, the people, and okay, it's Old Testament, it's Israel, and this is happening, it's New Testament, it's about Jesus, this is happening, and here are these events, or here are these instructions, or here is this doctrine. And you may not have the whole Bible memorized, but in a sense, it's all in there. You're just very, very familiar with it. And I think it's possible for you to reach a place in your life where it's like, what's the point? What do I even read? Where do I even start? There's nothing new. There's nothing fresh for me. Well, can I tell you something? You can always grow in your knowledge of God, can't you? You can always grow deeper. Your knowledge can always grow fuller. And the reason is because what we're talking about is God, not just a book, not like a novel that you've read before. And oh, yeah, I remember how this goes and what happens and how it ends. So maybe I'll read it again because I have nothing else to read, but I know what's going to happen. The Bible's not like that. It's about God, and God is infinite. God is eternal, and His glory and His magnificence and who He is something that is beyond our understanding. So we can always grow in our knowledge of God. Or you may be the kind of person that opens the Bible and thinks, I don't know where to start because I don't understand any of it. Or it just seems very complicated, or there's just so much and so many names and places and people, and this happened to Israel, and what does that mean for me, and how does this all fit together, and it seems like it's way, way beyond you. Well, can I tell you something? You may not fully understand the Bible, but you can know God. You can know God. That's within the realm of possibility for you. So whoever you are, wherever you are in life or your Christian walk or your circumstances, this is something that's always possible for us. You don't graduate from knowing God. It's just always before you. There's always more that you can know about your God. But we see also from what Paul says here, that growing in your knowledge of God is a vital component of your Christian life. I mean, just the fact that he's praying for it shows us that this is important, right? But let me point you to something. Notice in verse 10, he says, I don't cease to pray for you about these things. And in verse 10, and here's what he's praying for, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. So if you're a Christian, you want to walk with God, right? That's one of the ways we describe the Christian life, walking with God. And God's word tells us that we can and should walk worthy of Him. That means in a way that is appropriate and fitting for being a child of God. My life should correspond to who owns me, to who has saved me. My life should represent who I am in Christ. That is my walk. So he's praying that you may walk worthy of the Lord. And that includes fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work. And it also includes what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. That's right. Now, we could dig in and talk about the relationships of all of these. Some of them depend on others, but we know they're all supposed to be true. We're to be walking worthy, and that worthy walk includes a life that pleases him fully. It includes a life that is fruitful in every possible way, and it includes growing in our knowledge of him. It's all part. Each one is a vital component of the Christian life and of our walk with God. They're all related to walking worthy. So knowing God is vital to your Christian walk, and growing in your knowledge of God is vital to your Christian walk. So therefore, you and I should put a red star by that and say, all right, that's important. That should be going on in my life. As a Christian, I right now should be growing in my knowledge of God. I should not be content with what I know. I should not be satisfied with what I know. I should not be discouraged by what I don't know. But I should be intentionally and very purposefully implementing into my life whatever is necessary, whatever's involved in growing in my knowledge of him, because it's vital. If I could put it this way, you can't walk worthy of God without growing in your knowledge of him. You can't be pleasing to him in every way, as he says here. You can't bear fruit in every possible way, as he describes here, without growing in your knowledge of him. So if you want to walk worthy, and if you want to honor him with your life, and if you want to be fruitful, then this has to be taking place. Growing in your knowledge of God is a vital component of your Christian life. And I hope that each of us will say, yes, I accept that tonight. I accept that as true. And I will make a mental and even a spiritual flip of the switch, as it were, and say, all right, this is something that is important to me now. If I've lost my sense of importance about this, I want to renew that sense of importance and significance in my life, of growing in my knowledge of God. But then we see something else here. Your knowledge of God can grow as a result of what? What's Paul doing? Tell me out loud, what's he doing? This is easy. I put it in front of you already, right? All I can do is read. He's praying. Yes, he is praying. So what do I do to grow in my knowledge of God? Well, study, read, sure, you know, go to classes, listen to messages, sure. But we know that this one will help you grow in your knowledge of God, because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing. He's praying for these people. He is asking God for these specific requests, and the requests include that they would increase in their knowledge of God. He is praying this for them. Now, let me point you to a couple of other things that I think will fill this out a little bit. Go to the book of Ephesians, over to the left, a few pages, Ephesians chapter 1. Of course, there are similarities in some of Paul's letters. We see a similarity here. And here in the book of Ephesians, we have Paul again praying for these people. And let me start in verse 15. This is one of Paul's, you know, run-on sentences that get very complicated, but I'll read through and then I'll isolate a few things that we'll highlight here. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, Paul says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So again, here he's praying for them. That. What's he praying for? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of, here it is, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Let me stop there for now. You see it? Again, it's just piled up words. one after another to Paul, saying, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that you would grow in your understanding, that you would experience God's revelation, that is, God disclosing things to you that you did not know before or could not comprehend before, that you would grow in this and that you would know these things. And now he specifies some things that he's praying that these people would know here in verse 18, that you may know what is. He identifies three things. First of all, the hope of his calling. So as you grow in your knowledge of God, what is it that you can grow in your knowledge of? One is the hope of his calling. Now, this morning I started out and even made some applications through the message about some circumstances of life where we can actually leverage those into opportunities to know God. In fact, that's part of God's purpose for us in those circumstances, that we might know him. What would you say is the opposite of hope? Despair. That's the word I would use. Don't raise your hand. But do any of you ever feel despair? Just like, what am I supposed to do? What am I going to do? What about this awful, sinful heart of mine? What about this struggle with sin that I have? What about this world? This world, it just seems to be just blowing apart. There's something awful every day. I feel so inadequate. I'm supposed to live the Christian life. I'm supposed to be a husband and a dad and a pastor and this and that. And it's just like, that's way up here and I'm way down here. You ever just feel despair? Some people are just susceptible to despair. It's just almost part of your makeup, your personality. It's like you find yourself in these valleys, these dark places of life. What can happen? Well, you can grow in your knowledge of God that produces in you the opposite of despair as you become better acquainted with the hope of your calling. So God has called you. God has, as Paul said, laid hold of you. He has arrested you. Oh, yes, you heard the gospel. Oh, yes, you believed. But God's the one who pursued you. He's the one who came after you. He's the one that took hold of you and brought you to himself. He saved you. He saved you. He called you to himself. And because he did that, he has a purpose for you. There's a future for you. There's an eternity for you. You belong to God. You're in his hands. Yes, the world may blow apart tomorrow, but you're in God's hands. And there's hope in that. That's the hope of our calling. It's not just, oh, I hope it gets better. I hope things turn out well. No, it's that absolute assurance as we look out into the future, tomorrow or next year or eternity, and say, I know that God has called me to himself. I know that I belong to God. It's going to turn out okay. Regardless of what happens to my body, regardless of what happens to my finances, my relationships, whatever, I belong to God. And there's hope there. So as you grow to know God, that hope grows. You grow in your understanding of that hope. What's the second one? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What's the opposite of riches? Poverty. Let's call it need. You can raise your hand on this one. Anybody ever feel needy? Sure. Maybe you are materially or financially needy now. Or you just know that there's something missing in your life that maybe you think should be there, or you wish were there. Or you just have that sense of being deprived of someone, something, some circumstances. He says, you know, you can grow in your understanding of the riches, of the glory. And this is interesting. We don't have time to go into it tonight. But not of your inheritance. But what does it say? His inheritance in the saints. What that's saying is, it's not so much here anyway about what belongs to you or what's coming to you, but the fact, again, that we belong to him. And he delights in that. And Jesus is looking forward to that when we all come together and we're fully and completely and wholly his and with him forever. That's something that he takes ownership of. And there's glory in that to him and for him. And there's a richness there for him and for us. Man, you can just meditate and dwell and study and pray over that for a long time, can't you? You see what I mean? This knowledge of God, it grows, it goes on. He says you can grow in your understanding of that. So when you're feeling needy and poor and deprived and lonely and whatever, God can help you grow in your knowledge of him and what it means to belong to Christ. There's a third one. What is it? And what is the exceeding, verse 19, greatness of his power toward us who believe? And he goes on to describe that power that was displayed and demonstrated when God raised Christ from the dead and set him on his rightful throne. What's the opposite of power? Weakness. Sure. You feeling weak? Do you ever? Every day? Yes. So that weakness is an opportunity for you and for me to say, God, will you please help me to grow in my knowledge of your power? Oh, I know Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that. And wow, there must have been some great power at work. All right, Lord, will you help me understand what that means for me? In my struggle with sin, in my attempts to witness, when I'm growing weak and weary trying to endure my hardship or just the Christian life or these circumstances, when I'm just faltering and failing and growing weary, when I'm reaching maybe the latter end of life and I'm growing weary and I'm beginning to ache and hurt and grow discouraged, Lord, help me know what that power is all about. Help me to know you through the power of your resurrection. See how this works? And it's ongoing, it's continual, it's progressive. There's always something more for you to learn and to know and to experience. And so your knowledge of God can grow as a result of prayer. Paul prayed this for the people in Colossae. Paul prayed this for the people in Ephesus. And so what does that mean for us? By the way, let me show you one more. Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Another prayer by Paul. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on with his prayer. I'm going to just jump to verse 17. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, know, with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, that just peeks out there somewhere beyond our understanding, where Paul says, I'm praying that you would know the love of Christ. By the way, it's so vast, it's beyond any measure that we can comprehend, and you'll never really understand it anyway. But you can grow in your knowledge of it. Praying for knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ for us is bottomless. It is boundaryless. There's no ceiling. It just goes on and on and on. And we can grow in our knowledge of God's love and the love that Jesus Christ has shown to us. And Paul's praying for that. So that's the point of this, right? These are things to pray for, but the point is that our knowledge of God can grow as a result of prayer. So what should we do? Pray for these things. Pray that we will grow in the knowledge of God. Pray this for yourself. Let's put this on our prayer agendas. Let's include this in our times of prayer tomorrow morning, this week. In a couple of weeks, we're starting our Wednesday night study for the summer. It'll be in the upper room. Right up here. What is it? 205 and 206, I think. All right. And we might outgrow it. I don't know. If we do, we'll move it. But it's a great study. The hour that changes the world, and each section is a part of prayer that we can learn and grow in and practice. And through praying together, one of the benefits of that is knowing God. And remember, this morning we talked about knowing God together unifies us. But then we can just pray that we will know God, and we can pray for each other to know God. So pray for this for yourself. Pray for this for others. Pray for this for your children. It's not enough that they're attending Truth Trackers or go to Sunday school or learn the Bible in whatever educational setting you have them in, possibly, it's not enough. They don't just need to know the Bible, do they? They need to know Him, need to know God. And that comes through prayer. I want to whet our appetite a little bit and actually go ahead and help you start finding the book of Hosea. So will you turn there, please? The book of Hosea. And we're going to be studying the book of Hosea this summer on Sunday mornings, starting on in the first Sunday of June in the morning. The book of Hosea pictures Israel as an unfaithful wife. God accuses the people of Israel of committing adultery against Him. They were unfaithful to Him. And there's some pretty specific statements that God makes to Hosea and through Hosea about Israel. But in the setting of all of that, you know what He's calling them to? To know Him. Let me just point to a few of these. Look at chapter 2, starting in verse 16. Hosea, chapter 2, verse 16. So He said, God is talking about when Israel finally returns to Him and turns back to Him. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. What beautiful words God speaks to His unfaithful people. He will bring them back as a nation to Himself. And you shall know the Lord. Look at chapter 4. Verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Wow. No truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn. Everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now, let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of good people in office. Is that what it says? No. A lack of knowledge. And it's the knowledge of God he's talking about. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Wow. Powerful, strong words of judgment upon the land and the people of Israel, because they did not know God and did not want to. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. And now look at chapter 6. And these are the verses that caught my heart, and really the Lord used to direct me to this study for myself and for our church. Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Will you bow with me? I'm going to ask you tonight to pray that you and that we will grow in our knowledge of God. And will you first just pray this for yourself? Pray that you yourself will grow in your knowledge of God. And will you pray this for someone else by name? That they would grow in the knowledge of God. And will you pray this for our church? That we would grow together in the knowledge of our God. Lord, we don't have any question that this is what you want for us. It's a little hard because it seems intangible. It's one of those things that's immaterial. It's not something concrete that we can just go out and do 3 steps to implement into our lives. It's vast. So, Lord, help us to even know where to begin. But Lord, we make this our prayer tonight, that we might increase in the knowledge of God. And we know that you can answer that prayer. So we come to you humbly and with expectation, looking forward to what you will do in our lives. We don't like to say it, but it may involve, probably will involve, some suffering. Help us to accept that and to grow through it. In Jesus' name.